Looking for God in Harry Potter by John Granger. Tyndale House Publishers Incorporated, Wheaton, Illinois. Unless otherwise indicated, all scripture quotations are taken from the Holy Bible New International Version. Introduction. A parental shift from alarm to approval. Doubtless you have your own story about the first time you heard of Harry Potter or read a Harry Potter novel. My story, as it reflects the perspective and consequent insights that became this book, is perhaps the fitting way to introduce Looking for God in Harry Potter. I am what reporters without fail call a traditional Christian. Given that they use this description for Christian believers ranging from snake handlers in Appalachia to Tridentine Mass Roman Catholics, the phrase is robbed of much meaning. But as I fall somewhere between the ends of that spectrum, near the mere Christianity of C.S. Lewis, I can accept the tag. My wife and I have 7 children, and we consider it our chief responsibility to raise our children in the context of our faith. Without being paranoid or over-sheltering, we have decided that for our family that means church attendance and family prayers, as well as homeschooling and living without television. Mary and I are also pretty careful about what books we choose to read to the children or what titles we allow them to read. Harry Potter, consequently, was not welcome in my home when I first heard about him. My concern was less about scaring my children than it was about exposing them to occult elements and forces. I grew up in a time when Dungeons and Dragons was the rage, and I knew a few people whose lives turned around the game for years, and in anything but a healthy way. I also have convictions that just as there are good spiritual beings, there are harmful spirits as well. Pretending there is no devil is as naive and perhaps as dangerous, if not more so, than seeing demons behind every door. Not being gifted with discernment of spirits, I choose to avoid exposure to anything hinting of the supernatural that is not from a traditional, revealed spiritual path. I observe this simple rule when I buy books for myself as well as when I choose books for my children. This, to me, is common sense. If it's censorship of a kind, I have to think it's a healthy discrimination. Something like reading labels at the grocery store to see if there's a lot of junk in the food. You should know that because I don't watch television, it's as if I live on one of the moons orbiting the planet Zeno. I did not hear of Harry Potter until a few months before the 4th volume, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, was published. A woman who worked at a natural food store where I shopped told me about the books and recommended them to me with some enthusiasm. This friend probably would not be described as a traditional Christian by most reporters. With her twiggy frame, razor-cut, multicoloured, mostly orange hair, tattoos on her neck and ankle, and several facial piercings, Tiffany didn't look like someone you'd expect to meet at a Baptist church picnic. She told me in a conversation over lunch about these great books about a boy wizard that I simply had to read to my children. Now remember, I am almost media-free. What this meant at that time was that I was not only unaware of Harry's existence, I also knew nothing about the controversy involving Christian objections to the Harry Potter books. Looking at Tiffany, though, I didn't think I needed guidance from a children's pastor or focus on the family. I assumed my friend was something of a Wiccan or goddess worshipper and made a mental note to keep clear of anything to do with Harry Potter. But this was not to be. My oldest daughter, then 11, was given a paperback copy of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone by a paediatrician, who happens to be a thoughtful mother of 4 children and an evangelical Christian to boot. Now that Harry was in my house, I had to figure out what to do with him. I elected to read the book Hannah had been given, if only to explain to my daughter why she wasn't allowed to read it. I wanted to be able to point to specific passages so she could see for herself why we don't read such trash, however popular it may be. You can guess the rest of the story, I suppose. I read through the night, and ashamed of my judging a book by its readers, bought the other 2 books then available early the next morning, and apologized to my friend Tiffany. I began reading the books to my younger children that night, and encouraged, nay on required, that the older kids read them. I tell my story here for a couple of reasons. First, I hope you will remember that red flag caution was my first response to Harry Potter as a parent and a reader. I am a great admirer of the Harry Potter books and still maintain that caution in book selection is not ignorance or closed-mindedness. Those who are responsible for the shaping of young minds and hearts should be properly careful about what books their charges read, in the same way they should be discriminating about what they eat for snacks or what they watch on the television, if they choose to watch it at all. Only the careless or fools equate such prudence with prejudice.